John the Compressor.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to take a reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'll just read a few verses here and then we can have our seats. And we'll begin the reading of verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. We'll ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, we bless you this morning and thank you for your presence here this morning and for another opportunity, Lord, to come into your house and meet afresh around your word. And indeed, Lord, already you're speaking to us through the children, Lord, and through what our ears have heard and what our eyes have saw. And we ask you, Lord, we'll hear from you again and we'll see from you again. In Jesus' precious name, we pray, Lord, now you'll bless this portion of Scripture to us and help me to speak, Lord, the things you'd want me to speak. And block out of my mind, Lord, the things that you wouldn't want me to say. In Jesus' precious name. And bless your people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats this morning. And I just like, if I can, this morning, I keep saying this morning, I have to watch for it'll soon be not the morning. It'll soon be the afternoon. But I've got onto this theme about Peter, and well, maybe it's not so much about Peter, but Peter has an answer here in this question that the Lord asks, and the Lord asks a question about himself, and it's about his true identity. And you'll notice that the Lord spoke to his disciples, and he said to them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the Bible says that they give more than one answer, because they said in verse 14, Some say, thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. They say there were several routes. There were several answers to one question. But you know, when you think about it, there's really only one answer to the question. And that answer is either correct or else it's wrong. And there's no such thing as a part truth. It's either true or it's untrue. There's no in between. It's either right or it's wrong. But then the Lord brings it more. He makes it a personal thing. Because the Lord asked, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then he asked, but whom do ye say I, the Son of Man, am? What do you think? You see, sometimes we are taken up with what other people think. It's not a good thing to be taken up with what other people think. Amen. What do you think? Amen. And it's not always a good thing to be taken up with what other people think about Christ. What do you think about him? Do you think he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or do you think he has changed? Do you think he's still performing the same works today that he performed when he walked the shores of Galilee? Or do you think he has changed? Do you think he has went into semi-retirement? Do you think he's somewhere out there that he's far off? Or do you think he's right near beside you? What do you think? Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus said. Whom do you say? What are you thinking? What are you going to say? What's your answer? Now, you see, Peter come up with an answer. Boy, I like this man, Peter. He come up with an answer almost immediately. And you know what else we're told about his answer? We're told that he wasn't the orchestrator. Now that's a big word. He was not the orchestrator of the answer. He was not the one that done the maths. He was not the one that done the arithmetic. He was not the one that worked this thing out. He was not the man who said, I've went through this degree. I have passed the seminar. I've done this, I've done that, I've done something else. And I want to know. No, he didn't have any of that stuff. But he had a revelation from the Father, which was in heaven, which said, you are the Christ, the Son. Identification. Could you imagine a policeman stopping Jesus and asking him, had he any identification on him? I tell you, if he stayed with him for a day, he would have known him. He would have seen his identification when he saw the miracles, when he saw the blind seeing, the lame walking, and the dead been raised. And blessed is he who's not be offended in the word of God. He would have saw the identification of Jesus Christ that was portrayed in the Old Testament. Now, you know what I'm trying to speak to you this morning for a while about? The spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy and worship goes hand in hand. No spirit of prophecy, no true worship. Now Jesus said to the woman at the well, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. Now God's a spirit. Now you can bring in a worldly entertainer, and you can bring him up here, and you can get him to sing a hymn, but that's not worship. Why is that not worship? There's a difference in worship and entertainment. If that man who's in the world comes and sings about the Lord, it's only entertainment. Why is it only entertainment? It's only entertainment because he has no personal experience with Jesus Christ. He has no spirit of God on him. He has spirit of man on him. He has spirit of Antichrist on him. He has spirit of the world on him. He has spirit of entertainment on him. But you get me a man who's born again. You get me a man who's got the Holy Ghost. And you get him up there and you say, sing me one of the songs of Zion. And they bring the presence of God into the room. He bring the power of God into the kingdom. Now, I can back this with the scripture, what I'm telling you. I can show you from the scripture where when you speak the truth, when you say what God says,
when you speak the truth, when you identify Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Now let me say this also, you can never preach without mentioning the Lord Jesus. You can never preach the gospel. Before Jesus came, we only had a type and a shadow of the gospel, but when Jesus came and went to that cross, from then we have a gospel. From then we have not only a gospel, but we have the everlasting gospel. This gospel, when you get to heaven, you're still going to be able to listen to it. You're still be able to hear it, because it's a song the angels cannot sing. Amazing grace. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Now, you see, Jesus makes this a personal thing when he said to the disciples, "Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man?" Don't worry about what somebody else thinks.
Amen.
Don't worry about what the world says, because they don't know and they don't have the answer.
Amen.
But God's people has got the answer.
Amen.
God's people has got the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, who he was, and who he still is.
Amen.
They've got the revelation of a resurrection unto eternal life. Now, Simon Peter answered, and the Lord told him where his answer come from. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, that was his answer, came from heaven. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and not making any apologies, but I do repeat myself. I'm sure most of you know that. But anything that comes from heaven will take you back to heaven. If something comes from heaven, it'll take you back to heaven. It'll take you back to the source where it came from. And you know, if something comes from hell, it'll take you to hell. That's right. And that's the gates of hell. The gates of hell. Now, the gates of hell stood against the armies of Israel whenever the Goliath come out and boasted himself. That's the gate of hell there. Goliath was the gate of hell that day. But David come up, and what did David say? He said to Goliath, he addressed Goliath, and he said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. You have got man's ability.
Amen.
You're coming to me with man's internet. You're coming to me with no anointing. You're coming to me with all your physical strength. But I don't have enough physical strength to go against you. Or I don't have enough man's ability to go against you. But I have got something else down in my heart and down in my soul. It's called the Holy Spirit of the living God. And it's the name of God. I have got the identification of God on me and in me and working through me.
Amen.
And I'm coming again you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he is going to deliver you into my hands." Now you see, the Lord said to Peter, he said, "Blessed art thou." Peter, you're a happy man. You might have a lot of trouble in your life. You might have a lot of problems. But listen, you're not a defeatist. You're not bait. Peter, you're not bait. The giant, he didn't say the giant wouldn't be there. He didn't say it show his ugly face. He didn't say it boast himself. He didn't say you'll not have any more bother with him. But you know, he did. David had no more trouble with Goliath, I'll tell you that. The Bible says he took five smooth stones out of the brook. Somebody said, five bleeding wounds he bore, received on Calvary. The poor effectual prayers they humbly paid for me. Forgive them all, forgive they cry, nor let their unsung sinner die. You know, somebody said, "Why did you take five stones?" Well, somebody else said, "Well, Goliath had four other brothers. He's ready to take them on."
Amen.
I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm not here. I'm only here to represent another one. His name is Jesus. I'm only here to represent the living God. I'm only here to represent the God of Israel. The God, the living God, whom you have defied.
See the gates of hell. They want to defile the armies of the living God. But you see, when you have faith in God, you unlock the power of God. This is tonic. Oh, praise the Lord. See, saying the right thing, saying the right thing will bring God into the situation. What is the right thing? The truth. The truth. The truth will bring God into a situation. Now, the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Briefly, the gates of hell. Where are the gates of hell? They're on earth. They're in the heavens, and they're below the earth. What do? They try to block you when you go to pray. They want to block you. What about whenever Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days and he sought the Lord, and he, whenever that angel came, who was it, Gabriel? And he said he came from the very first day. But he said the prince of Persia withstood me. Who was that? That was a demon. That was the gates of hell withstood him. That's what withstood him. In the heavenlies, withstood him, blocked. You see, to stop the answer, to stop the breakthrough, to stop you from getting through, to make you say it's not going to work, to make you say, oh, I need a retreat. No, God's army never retreats. God's army marches forward. God's army never sits down. God's army stands up. God's army goes forth in the name of the Lord. But you see, the Lord said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So he said upon this rock, and Brother Branham said a rock meant the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we see today, you know, God is still building his church. God has a people, and God is going to have a people. Always remember that. God has never left himself without a witness. God hasn't said, oh, I've got nobody. And you know, remember whenever one of the Old Testament prophets, was it Elijah, or was going to end it all, or wanted to end it all, he said, I alone. And the Lord said, no, I have reserved for myself, was it 7,000, who's not bowed the knee to Baal. So God has a people, and God always will have a people. Thank the Lord for that. And he said he would build his church with that. Now listen, this machine has switched itself. It does this all the time with me. Switch itself away. But I want to, for a moment, if I can, look at prophecy. I don't want to get off that spirit of prophecy. I believe whenever Peter said, you're the Christ, that was the spirit of prophecy, Thomas. I believe that. It was the spirit of prophecy. And that spirit of prophecy, it came from the Father. It came from the Father. Now, Peter didn't need anybody to whisper in his ear. Peter didn't say, I need to go and ask so-and-so, I need to listen to so-and-so, I need to hear this man, I need to hear that man. Now, them things can be good. Or he didn't hear some eavesdropping. Or he didn't have a good imagination. He was certain,
amen,
that God spoke to him.
That's right.
Once you read about the disciples, know what they say when they're doing, when they're having the testimony of Jesus, they say, we can only speak the things which we have seen and heard. They had a testimony. A testimony. Now, they had identification with Jesus Christ, and they had a testimony of Jesus Christ. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me it is the spirit of prophecy. And outside the testimony of Jesus Christ, there can be no prophecy. Now, unless you have that, and now what am I trying to say? It's a gift. That comes from God. It's a gift. And God gives it. It's the Father gives it. Now, I know it's recorded in the scripture, and I've written it down here somewhere where it is recorded. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Bible tells us that prophecy came not in olden time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Saying, knowing this, therefore, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So, you know, whenever Peter spoke these words, it wasn't the words of Peter. It was the words of God.
Yes, amen.
This wasn't just the words of a man. Whenever David went up and stood before Goliath and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, it wasn't just the words of a man. This was the word of the Lord.
Right.
Some people say they've got the word of the Lord. They've got the word of their own self. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have the word of the Lord. But also you can have the word of imagination. But when you have the word of the Lord, you have a certainty.
Amen.
Of a truth that God has spoke to you. And you don't need anybody else to tell you. God has spoke to you, and you know he has spoke to you.
Amen.
And you can depend on what he said.
Amen.
And whenever you're depending on what he said, and believe what he said, and know that he said it, I believe it's an act of worship.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. We know how the prophecy came. It didn't come by the will of man. It didn't come by the will of man. You know, I went into the grocery shop one morning, one Saturday morning, and there's quite a few people in the grocery shop. And there's an old barber. I don't know if he's living or dead. And, oh, well, he was a right old soul. But he was far from the truth. And I don't know for why. But all of a sudden and out of the blue, he put forth a statement. And he said, God never wrote nothing. God never wrote nothing. And he said this to the man who owned the shop. He said, God never wrote nothing. You see, where did he get that from? He got that from the gates of hell. That's where he got it from. But you know, I couldn't hold myself. I couldn't hold myself, and I says, what did you say? He said, God never wrote now. And I says, he never wrote now. And I says, did you never hear tell of the Holy Bible? God wrote this Bible. And I told him that verse in Peter. I says, there's no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for holy prophecy came not in olden time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I says, the Holy Ghost wrote the Bible. The Holy Ghost was the inspiration behind the Bible. And you know, Brother Branham said, what kind of a spirit preaches the word? The same kind of a spirit that wrote the word. The Holy Spirit wrote the word, and the Holy Spirit's the one that'll preach the word. Outside of that, you have nothing. Outside of that, you have the shield and the spear and the sword that Goliath had. It'll not get you out of here, but the Holy Ghost will get you out of here. It'll not bring any deliverance, but the Holy Ghost will bring you deliverance. And let me say something else this morning, just while now I'm on it. I've got a word for Mr. Putin, and I've got a word for Mr. Johnson. I want to tell you something. I've got a word for NATO. If they want to see plenty of the Ukrainian people being killed and murdered and put out of their land and put out of their homes, keep on sending them guns and ammunition. That's right. And if they want to see less of them being killed and hurt and dismembered and moved out of the place, don't send them
believe that this morning. Now, time will tell. You know, I believe I could make a prophecy just now, but I'm not going to. Praise the Lord. You see, NATO wants to get close to Russia so they put the bomb in there. That's right. And they're not so much worried about who lives or who dies as long as they have power.
Yes. Right.
And you know that old spirit that was back then on the Philistines is still in the world today.
Yes.
That old Antichrist spirit that says we'll tell you what to do and we'll tell you who you can worship and who you can't worship.
Right.
But thank God there's a people on earth today, there's a bride of Jesus Christ, there's a church of the living God. Jesus said, they that worship me must worship in spirit and truth. You know, this spirit of prophecy can come on you and you'll prophesy truth. You'll not prophesy imagination. You'll not prophesy a fairy tale. Or you'll not prophesy some load of nonsense. You'll prophesy the living word of the living God. And it'll come to pass what you say. And you know what else about it? It'll bring deliverance. It'll bring you into the presence of God. The spirit of prophecy will bring you of God. The spirit of prophecy is true worship. I believe that. You know, some people today that go to church forever. They go to church forever and never hear the spirit of prophecy. They go to church forever and never have the spirit of prophecy. Know nothing about it. Never experience the power of God in their life. Never experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Never have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Have some worldly agenda. Just a worldly agenda. Just a good time. Just a hee-haw and a laugh. It's true. God's looking for real people. God wants to anoint you with the real anointing. He doesn't want to give you a substitute. He wants to give you the genuine article.
Comes from heaven, take you back to heaven.
Amen.
You know, Peter had got a reward for speaking the truth. You know there's a reward for speaking the truth?
Amen.
Also there's a reward for speaking lies. What's the one for speaking lies? Death and hell. And finally, the lake of fire. That's the reward. When sin has conceived, it brings forth death. But also when faith has conceived, it brings forth life.
Amen.
Hallelujah! When faith has conceived, it'll bring forth the spirit of prophesy. It'll bring forth the gifts of the Holy Spirit of the living God. It'll bring forth the fruits of the Spirit of the living God. It'll bring forth virtue, power and honor, temperance and love. Oh, what is the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Faith, meekness, temperance, goodness, gentleness, long suffering. Against such there's no law. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with people today? They haven't got the Holy Spirit. They haven't got the fruits. They haven't got the gifts. They don't want them. They want another agenda. They want to have what Goliath had. They want to have what the Philistines had.
What did David say when he come up to that old Goliath? Amen. He said, the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. You didn't defile me, my boy, when you spoke against the blood. You didn't defile me when you spoke against the gifts. But you defiled the living God. And I come against you in his name. In his name I come against you. You see, Peter got a reward, I said, and I need to move on, but listen, Peter got a reward. What was his reward? First of all, the Lord told him what he was doing. What was the Lord? What did the Lord say he'd do? He said he'd build the church. He's the builder. He's the builder. He is building the church. We need to stand back and we need to let him build the church. Whenever we start to take the trowel and take the plumb line, you know, sometimes our plumb line needs taken. Sometimes our level's off. What we call level's not level. You know, it's a joke.
But there was an old man lived in the country years ago, and Bobby would know him. I knew him, and Ellie knew him. And there was a neighbour man, he built a sail of wool, and when you built the sail of wool, the wool of the sail didn't run straight up, run that off at an angle. And he looked at the wall, and he says, "I've news for you." He says, "It's not plumb." That's only a joke. He said, "An ordinary man wouldn't have noticed it, but he noticed it right away." It was meant to be off plumb. But you know what's wrong? You see, whenever we get off plumb, you're never going to be straight.
That's right.
You can't have the spirit of prophecy running off plumb, because it will run off. It's out. It's take you away, not bring you back. Take the power of God. How to lose the power of God? Get off plumb. Run off. Start to run off. How do you run off? You deny this word. You contradict the word. You go against the word. You don't identify the word. You don't say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're somebody else. No, you're Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I know you are. The Father has revealed it to me. Now listen, I'm spending a lot of time. I'm moving on. Look, it's away quarter past for my watch. Listen, we'll soon be through. But listen, Jesus said he'd build his church and the gates of hell wouldn't stop him. It's not matter what the devil does. He can stand on his head if he wants to. God's going to have a church. Listen, let me say this. One day, you and me are going to walk the streets of gold. We're going to walk the streets of gold. We're going to go into that city where there's no nights. We're going to go by the tree of life and the river of life. We're going to pass through there. We're going to be there. We're going to be with the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. God is going to do it. God's doing it himself. Praise his holy name. But he said to Peter, that's in the future, and that's present tense, and it's also future. It's happening now, and it's continuing to happen. God's still building his church, and God's doing it. And let God do it, if we can. Let him do it. You know, a preacher said one time the best thing that he could do when he got on the pulpit was to get out of the way. That's right. Get behind that cross. Get out of the way and let the Lord do it. You know, so many people today, they want to save people. They want to save them. A man came to me one time, and he used to go to Elam. And he was in Elam one night, and he walked out, and he never came back. And I don't know if it was because of me or not. He might have walked out because of me, but I think I was preaching, and he walked out, and he never came back. And he said to me one day, he said, "Bill Dunn nearly had me saved." Well, I said he couldn't have saved you. Well, he said he nearly hadn't have saved. He was close. You see, we want sometimes to say, "Oh, I got so many." We need to forget about that side. It's him that it's the Lord that does the saving. It's the Lord that does the saving. It's the Lord that does the healing. And he said to Peter about something that was very important. He says to Peter, "I'm going to give you a reward because you've spoke the truth. And because the Lord didn't just say to him, the spirit of prophecy is on you, but I believe it was on him." And Jesus told him what the reward was. He said, "I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I believe that's the keys of the kingdom. The power of binding and loosing. The power to set free. The power to bind. The power. You know, if you bind the devil, he can't move. Did you know that? Did you know if you take authority over a demon, he has to leave? Do you know that if you take authority over that evil spirit can't trouble anybody anymore. It has to go. You see, when Jesus walked into the temple and there was a man there, and he had a spirit of infirmity on him, and the demon in the man cried out and said, "Jesus, thou Holy One of God, we know you who you are. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" You know, the devil's putting in his time. And he's putting in his time, and he knows, the Bible says, he knows you have but a short time. And it If the devil can just keep them there with pleasure not strong. What about that wee song? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Even though the whole world you did gain. Oh, it seems even now that the line you have crossed. Have you counted the cost? You know, people need to count the cost. Because time is drifting away. And the devil knows he has but a short time. Listen. The children done a marvelous play and Ian done a marvelous play. They acted out. But you know, in the spiritual sense, that's still going on. Not war. Them demons is against you. Them demons want to kill you. Them demons want to shut you up. See, whenever David come down with the cheese and the loaves, and he went to his bairn, and they says, for mischief you have come down. You wanted to see the battle. Who did you leave the sheep with? Get back to work. You can't afford to take time out and preach the gospel. You can't afford to miss your work. You can't afford to do without the overtime. You'd not be able to be at the prayer meeting. You'd not be able to be at the Bible study. You'd not be able to sit at the Lord's table. You don't have time. Listen, one day it's going to be over. What did the wee cliche say? We don't hear it mentioned much, but I used to hear this all the time. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, you say the world can give you a great write-up. He was this, he was that, he was something else. And he lived life to the full. He was at the party just 2 days, and he died the next day. He loved a pint. He liked a wee smoke. And he had an odd wee woman on the side, but we're not going to go into that. The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes, seeing in torment. He said, I have 5 brothers. Send one back from the dead. Abraham sent a preacher back. Let one go from the dead. What did Abraham say? He says, let Moses and the prophets, and if they hear not one of them, they're not here, even though one came back from the dead. Oh, we're down to the end time. We're right down to the end time. The world rushes on. We're the rushing till the rush until the lost eternity. Why, that's the gates of hell. That's the gates of hell. That's the thing that blocks you. That's the thing whenever you pray. And sometimes the heavens are like brass. But Jesus said to Peter, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of hell, but the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. I'll give you the keys. Listen, when you get the keys, you can go and come when you want to. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to fill out a form. You don't have to pass a test. You've got the keys and you can go. By one Spirit, we all have access unto the Father. Hallelujah. What is the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit of the living God. Praise His holy name. I'm almost through what I want to show you. If I can get this machine to waken up. Well, I don't really... You know why I like to write this here down? I've lost some, don't worry about it. When you get older, you start to forget. Well, I think I do. But see, if you write something down and keep it somewhere, you'll always have it. You'll always have it, you can go back to it. You know, I preach some sermons that I want to forget, but they were useless. But I preached the odd one. The odd one I don't want to forget. I thought they were all right. See, you write them down, you can turn to them and read them out to the devil. Ask the Satan if he wants, he can listen to them. he can listen in when you're reading a sermon. And you know, it hits the Word of God when you start to read it out loud in your room. You know what you're going to do? You're going to sanctify the room you're in. When I'm talking about the presence of God, I'm talking about the manifest presence of God, where you can feel a God, where you can feel the Lord, where you can feel the Holy Spirit. I want to say I'm a sensationalist. I believe in sensation. I believe, and I want to say, there's the power of God coming again. He's standing behind me while I speak here. Oh, I'm not here to ghost this morning, but I declare that I need him, and I declare that without him, I am nothing, but I also declare that with him, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Let me turn you to the Holy Scriptures in Revelation, and it's chapter 19, and it's verse 10. And I want to say, I missed out on Matthew 14 and verse 33, but I can tell you briefly what Matthew 14 and verse 33 say. It's whenever this man, Peter, walked on the water. Hallelujah. Peter walked on the water. Said, Lord, it was you. Lord, there's a prayer with a net in it, but God still answered it. Lord, if it's you, bid me come and meet you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Come on down out of the boat. And Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to be with Jesus. But when he saw the winds and the waves boisterous, he began to sink. And he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord put forth his hand and caught him. And we believe that Peter walked back and got up into that boat. And when he got into the boat, the Bible tells me in Matthew 14 and this verse 33. Now, just, we are right there. Stay, we are there, Matthew. But listen, it says they came and worshipped him. That was Jesus. And said of a truth, thou art the Son of the living God. Now listen to this here. And I'm almost through. And listen to this. What John saw here in the book of Revelations. And there was an angel that talked to him. And I'm going to read you verse 9. Because you know this verse 9 is going to happen very soon. This verse 9 is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, verse 9, John 19, verse 9, and he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, the true sayings of God, boy, where the truth is, the presence of the Lord is. Where the truth is, the manifest presence of the Lord is. Where the truth is spoken, God, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, where you speak the truth, you're inviting the Holy Ghost. When you speak the truth, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to come. You're inviting the power of God to come. You're inviting God to do something. And God will do something. And John said in verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. You see, John is taken up so much, he wants to worship this man who's talking with him, or this angel who's talking with him. And he says unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now, this man, whoever he was a sinner. But he was a sinner saved by grace. How was he a sinner? He had the testimony of Jesus. He said, tell him, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now, this man identifies himself with you, brother, with you, sister, with you, brother, and with me, sister. With me, this man identifies himself with us this morning that are born again of the Holy Spirit of the living God. He identifies with you, and he says, I'm of thy brother. I'm one of you. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say, you see, he's telling, and he says he has the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he says, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus, it's the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. You want the spirit of prophecy? Start speaking about the Lord.
Amen.
You want the spirit of prophecy? Lift up the Lord.
Amen.
You want the spirit of prophecy? Say what Jesus said. That's the spirit of prophecy. See anything else? No good. Waste of time. Spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist. Waste of time. But do you know what else about it? It's an act of worship. He said, why did they say worship God? You can't divide them. You cannot divide the spirit of prophecy and worship. The two goes hand in hand. The two go hand in hand. The spirit of prophecy and worship. You know when somebody preaches the truth? That's equal to worship. You know when you speak the truth? That's worship. When you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that's worship. When you say, I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's worship. When you say, I believe he died on the cross, but he didn't only die, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he ever lives to make intercession for us according to the will of God, that's worship. That's worship in spirit and a spirit in truth. So, I conclude now, I have to come to a stop. You've listened really well. But I conclude, if any man speaking or prophesying the truth, and under the inspiration of God, it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. And he said, worship God. And you know, when he said worship God, and then he mentions the testimony of Jesus, he puts Jesus equal with God. He says he is God. He's Lord this morning, isn't he?
Amen.
He's Lord this afternoon. You know what I love? He has risen from the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah, he's the coming King. You know, one of these days we're going to be skipping through the streets of the New Jerusalem. Wasting the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You know that old hymn, you know what it says? It says, who are these beside the chilly grave? You know, one day I long for the day when the first resurrection happens. Why? Because the graveyards are going to be empty. The graveyards is going to be empty. All the saints in spotless white. All the saints. The Bible says them that have died in Christ will God bring with him. Now, we could go on, but we're not going to go on. You know, it's going to be a great reunion, isn't it? Remember, Bill Donnie used to sing an old song. It says, we'll talk it over in the by and by. And I'll ask the reason, and he'll tell me why, when we talk it over in the by and by. You know, the Christian today has a hope. The Christian today has a hope that maketh not ashamed. Apostle Paul could say, I know whom I have believed it. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, we need to pray. Now, that's a silly thing to say, we need to pray. All of us in here know we need to pray. We need to pray that God give us the spirit of prophecy. For when you have the spirit of prophecy, you can speak the truth. And when you speak the Holy Spirit, when you speak the truth, when you speak under the inspiration of Lord God Almighty, you bring deliverance. You release the power of God into the room. You release the presence of God into the situation. You release the love and the joy and the peace of God upon your soul. The goodness, the gentleness, the long-suffering, the faith, the meekness, and the temperance. All them things, you know, the world knows nothing about. But the Christian knows about them. Isn't that good? I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to ask Guy to come and lead us this morning as we come to the close. Father, this morning,
We thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, your word will strengthen us this morning and bring us from faith to faith and give us your glory. Lord, we thank you. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in the time of need. Lord, answer prayer in this room this morning. Meet needs in this room this morning. Glorify your name in this room this morning, Lord. And we say, let the spirit of prophecy come on the young man. Let it come on the older man. Let it come on the women. Let it come upon everyone that would desire that gift, I pray, in Jesus' name. And give us, Lord, as someone said, the dove had 9 flights in every wing, 9 gifts and 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, I pray, God. You'll bestow them upon us, not sparingly, but abundantly, for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we know you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, nothing can separate us from your love, we know. And we claim your promises this morning. And we bless your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Gary.
Praise God. Maybe we can stand our feet, all of us. And John, here's your pen. Well, singing that hymn, one of them, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Are you glad that you can be identified this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, remember one time John was preaching there and it put me in memory, you know, about the Holy Ghost wrote the word and was having a discussion about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and I shared with the person how that Peter said that he had the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know, he got so agitated because of the theology and training. He said in his anger, I don't care what Peter said, I'll take what Jesus said. You see, he hadn't an understanding. He had an error. The same Holy Ghost that inspired Jesus to say Matthew 28 was the same Holy Ghost that inspired Peter. It was the same author. It wasn't 2 different authors. It was the same source. Come from the same source. What you have to do is you have to reconcile what Peter had was. John said it there. That rock was the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And the Lord said unto Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. So whenever Peter gave the interpretation of what Jesus meant, that was the revelation. That was that same prophecy, wasn't it? It was the revelation. The name of the Father is Lord, is Jehovah. And the name of the Son is Jesus. And the Anointed One is Christ, the Messiah. That's what it was. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us sing this. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And I'm glad. I tell you, I'm glad this morning. Glad to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glad to be called a Christian. People call themselves Presbyterians or Methodists. You could call yourself Message. You could call yourself all different sorts of blasphemous names. It's not right because, you know, you're laughing there. But let me share a testimony quickly. Brother Branham was to visit. He was visiting in hospital. He was praying for people in hospital. And he seen a wee woman. And he thought when he was in here, he would go and share the gospel with her. And he came over and he said, hello, ma'am. He says, I'd like to share the gospel with you. Would it be all right if I prayed with you? And she said, close the curtain. I'm a Methodist. And he said, she wanted the privacy. She didn't want anybody knowing. She was one of them secret disciples. And Brother Branham said, they're sorry. I thought you might have been a Christian. And you know, is that the truth? You see, as one famous preacher said in this country to another famous preacher, he says, the Baptist didn't die for you. So it didn't. There was no Baptist Union or Presbyterian or nothing else. It was Jesus Christ. And that's why we take his name. We don't take any other name this morning, for the Bible says, blaspheme not that holy name whereby ye are called. We're called after his name, not any other. Praise God. I'm glad for that this morning. That's why we're called Christians. Amen. Born again Christians. Amen. Praise God. There are people. Let's sing the first verse of the portion because he does. God.